Mzansi, you are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzansi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by OneIFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masua. Welcome to another episode in our Farmer Mentor series. I'm wondering, have you been enjoying the future-focused farmers that we've featured in this special series? Who's been your favorite? Let us know. I definitely have a few, but we want to know yours. And let us know via our DMs on social media. Hey, maybe even suggest who you'd like to hear featured on the podcast series. We definitely want to know. Now we're back with another innovator in the agricultural sector, of course. And in this episode, we dig deep into the inspiring story behind Ubuntu Extra Virgin Olive Oil and its founder, Lohiso Manga. Now, driven by a passion to make high-quality olive oil accessible to all South Africans, Lohiso set out on a journey to create a brand that is fresh, positive, and grounded in the African values of community and sharing. Now, for over 2 years, he faced the challenges of finding the right olive oil farm partner and securing funding, yet his vision for a healthier South Africa kept him pushing forward. Today, he is supplying some impressive markets and have won a couple of awards along the way. Let's meet Lohiso Manga. Lohiso, it is lovely having you with us. Now, for those who might not know, what inspired you to enter the olive oil industry?
What inspired me to get to the olive oil industry is mainly because of the health benefits. I saw an opportunity from a business point of view of preaching the gospel of the health benefits that the olive oil brings or gives to the human body, you know, reducing of type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, inflammation and so forth. Also the skin benefits, eczema in kids, how good it is with, you know, with natural hair. That was quite a business angle that I saw. I think I also liked the fact that there were not a lot of black participants, if any, at that time. So going into the unknown, the adventure of it was quite exciting, and I've got a daring spirit. So I wanted to get into something new, have new experiences, meet new people, try push a brand. And of course, what made it easy was that a lot of people started living healthy at that time. People were jogging all over the country. So I loved the health element of it, the lifestyle and the health benefits of it. I thought that there was an opportunity there. And yeah, I just dug deep into it and tried it out.
You don't own land yourself, and I can't imagine that it's easy. How do you ensure the quality of your olive oil?
And the easy part is that the South African producers of olive oil are quite proud of what they produce. It's a small group of people, maybe about 20 or 30, maybe 40 at max. But these are people that know each other. These are people that are quite proud about the quality of olive oil that they have. So it's quite easy for you to ensure that it's extra virgin olive oil. Just also making sure that whoever supplies you is part of SA Olive, which is a seal that it is extra virgin olive oil. Then from then onwards, you become adventurous about blending different cultivars and different blends and deciding whether you want to have a monocultivar or a blend or a multicultivar. So that's a fun part. But South African olive oil producers are quite proud about what they produce. So it is the easy part is that it's quite easy for you to get quality olive oil because the guys have a lot of pride in what they do.
The agricultural sector is, of course, not without challenges, and I can imagine the olive oil industry as well. Can you share any personal stories about significant challenges that you might have faced?
One of the most significant challenges would be us being out of business for close to 9 odd months, close to a year. That was simply born from two things. The olive oil harvest for 2023 was quite bad. Some say it was the worst in 25 years. But there's a global shortage and it hit hard last year. So our suppliers had struggled to give us any olive oil because they had harvested a fifth of what they used to get. And they had obviously their own retail commitments. And whenever we could find olive oil, it was difficult to get it funded because guys want the money up front, unfortunately. And that was one of the major challenges. So the major challenges in the main are getting the working capital to purchase stock. That simply is your olive oil, bark olive oil, your caps, your bottles, your labels, etc. So yeah, that's been the most biggest of our challenge and will continue to be so.
Let's talk about your markets and growing your olive oil brand to where it is now.
So our current markets are, we should replenish at Woolworths next year around March. And we're currently not there now due to being off the shelves because we didn't have stock most of this year and late last year. But we are excited about Takealot. We're at Takealot at the moment. And we're selling a lot of our olive oil to companies, corporate giftings, etc. Those are our current markets. The intention is that we would love to set up agro-processing facility, manufacturing here in Cape Town, possibly Woodstock, and have a bottling facility that our people would come and experience and have a jol in, do olive oil tasting.
So how do you secure funding? And maybe tell us how you secured funding right at the start of your business. I can imagine that, you know, during difficult times, it's not easy as well. Take us through that and tell us what motivates you to keep going despite these challenges.
We don't. Banks aren't too friendly with a business that hasn't been operating. Regardless of the POs, it's quite difficult to get funding. What motivates us is the sheer dream. We remember that we are an inspiration to many young people who are destitute, who are unemployed, and who are still trying to find themselves. And our dare-to-dream spirit and our confidence in what we want to do in the future, you know, creation of generational wealth, it takes one person in a family to decide to make that move and make the sacrifices, and I see myself as that person. So that motivates me. What motivates me more is the idea of me never calling my previous boss and asking for my job back.
Now, you are no stranger to awards. You've won some awards over the past years, and recently the New York International Olive Oil Competition. That's massive. Congratulations.
Our greatest award is definitely the one we got early October this year, about 2 weeks ago, where we won silver in the World New York Olive Oil Competition. And that is judged by all the top tier judges in the world in the olive oil sector, all the way from Spain, England, Italy, the States. They all judged our olive oil to be one of the best in the world. And yeah, we're looking forward to going through next year and getting a gold. So yeah, we're quite pumped and excited about that. And previously, we'd always used olive oil from our suppliers that had won gold, that had won silver. So we are quite familiar, yeah, with winning and having high quality olive oil, because South African olive oil is top tier. But yeah, our greatest victory is us winning and our own label, which has been tremendous.
Now, reflecting on your journey, what strategic decisions or business moves would you say do you believe has been pivotal in your success, and how do they shape your path going forward?
The relationship that I've had with SA Olive, the relationship that I've built with farmers, the trust that they've seen in me and they've seen my hard work. I think, yeah, the SA Olive as an institution under Nick Wilkinson, and especially now under Wendy Peterson, they've been quite pivotal in my success. I suppose also with getting listed with Woolworths was a game changer. Made people respect our business a bit, because people appreciate the fact that Woolworths are quite pedantic. I think that was a game changer. That was a massive turnaround, because even if people love the beautiful brand, love all of this stuff, but they doubt the quality. So whenever I told them I was at Woolworths, they'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Okay, we'll take it. You know, how much is it? So I think that shaped our path a lot, when people were able to trust, not even me, but trust Woolworths. So I think that was a game changer.
Give us a sneak peek into some of your future plans and the legacy that you hope to leave through your work in the olive oil industry.
The major goal has always been to own our own farm. It's been our drive to own the value chain since 2017, when I started embarking into the olive oil industry. I think for us now, what we'd want to do is failure to get a farm. We'd want to have an agro-processing facility, a facility that would have stainless steel tanks for storage, bottling, capping, and all of that. And at the center of it is that we want to contribute to the employment of young people and the employment of South Africans So I think an agro-processing facility, which has also an agritourism touch to it, where people are able to come and bottle their own olive oils and have a sit down and have olive oil tasting and wine tasting and all of these pairings. That's the type of experience that we want to give to people. So I think that's the immediate goal. Second or third is that we want to establish a plant maybe late next year, warehouse plant in the northern part of Botswana. And we've already started having these conversations because we want to be in the SADC area, and Botswana is a brilliant, safe, government-supported, funded company that would want to be at the center of our distribution, because Botswana is at the center of the SADC countries and also gives us access to both East and West Africa. So we want to establish a warehouse there, and we can't do it here at the tip of Africa, but we want to at least be closer to our East African brothers and West African brothers. So we want to set up something there. The third one is to push the sales from an export point of view. And those are plans that we plan to implement in the next 2 years' time.
Luiso, how do you envision the future of South Africa's olive oil industry?
The SA olive industry has got a great future. I believe that through the leadership of Wendy, it is going to start flourishing. The relationship between the tripartite relationship between the state, the SA olive industry, and the public servants of South Africans will need to be tightened up. Issues of having olive oil as a zero-rate product is something that's quite important to the SA olive industry. There needs to be a lot of tightening up with cheaper, inferior olive oil coming from Italy and from Europe. I think government needs to hold up on that. But I think we will be campaigning a lot more going forward on matters that could make the industry flourish as a whole. And it's my desire that, you know, there starts being some research that is done through the ARC and government and rural development on how we can start planting olive groves in the Eastern Cape. I think the industry is growing. The transformation element of it rests a lot on the government support that it has for people of color who want to play in it. I think SA Olive has always been open to transformation, but the challenge has always been people of color being able to afford the land that is their owners. Then falls on government to provide that leadership and support.
That was, of course, Luiso Manga. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. For me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, as always, thanks for listening.